The Boop Show is brought to you in part by you, our listeners, over at patreon.com/frogpants.
Another visitor. Stay a while. Stay forever.
This is The Boop Show, episode 196, for December 10th, 2018. Hey, everybody, welcome back to the... Don't get all tangled up. Welcome back to the Boop Show. This is episode 196, as I mentioned before, with myself, Scott Johnson, and himself, Brian Dunaway. Hello, Brian Dunaway.
Oh, hi, Scott Johnson.
How's it going, man?
How are you, good man? Doing good, doing good.
Oh, that's fantastic. Doing all right. Been busy putting flooring in the house. I'm sick of it. I don't want to do it anymore.
Oh, that's cool. So like you say you're putting in flooring in your house is like... So you still have the subfloor there, or is it just like wide open? So you have to like play like a game of like a platformer.
No, it's we got the subfloor. We didn't have to change that. It's good subfloor, all solid, ready to go, all good. It's just we replaced carpet, and then in a section of it, a little bit of tile, and another section of it, some old hardwood that just needed to go, and we're replacing it all with one big uniform luxury vinyl, wood finish looking 30-year warranty thing. And it's we got a good deal, and it's getting all done thanks to the help of a bunch of relatives and stuff. But yeah, we're still
Y'all are like the Amish.
We're a little like the Amish. We're doing a barn raising, yes.
Right.
It's this barn's made out of some sort of high tech resin, but other than that, it is like a barn raising, and in the end, it looks like wood, so we're good.
I would like it. I would like a video game that would be kind of like, I would find that as an interesting platformer idea, like, you know, kind of a Money Pit kind of meets Super Mario or something.
What's that clay game or Klee game they're making? Hold on.
Is there a Klee game?
Entertainment. They're making a game where you jump around the house. It's basically like playing. Remember Lava when you were a kid?
Yeah. Florida's Lava. That's been popular for the last couple of years.
It's kind of that. And let's see. It's called Hot Lava, in fact.
Oh, Hot Lava.
Yeah.
And Klee does this? Those people what make those survival games you love so much?
They only make one survival game. But I don't love that game. But they make a bunch of other games I really like. I guess they make two. They make Oxygen Not Included, which is sort of a survival-y, and it's okay. It's not really my thing. Don't Starve is also, I wish it was my thing. It's just not. But they've made some of my favorite games of all time. For example, Mark of the Ninja.
Yeah.
And that new version, the enhanced edition, super good. And Invisible Ink, one of my favorite games of all time, turn-based Invisible Ink. Fantastic. And they've got something new called Griftlands they're working on that I don't know a whole lot about. But that and Hot Lava, they're two upcomers. Let's see, Griftlands is, when's this come out, this little booger here?
That sounds
here.
Interesting.
Griftlands is an RPG where everything is negotiable, money, loyalty, even morality, choose your character and make your fortune. Griftlands is the next game by Klee, planned for 2018. Oh, this is supposed to be out this year still? No.
No. I like the way this looks. It's kind of got, what do you call that style? Is this going to be mobile-based or is it?
No. It's all PC. They're big PC makers. I mean, it looks like it's like a good old fashioned RPG, but with their take on it. Let's see. TBD is the release date, but they say 2018, which makes me worried that we're not going to hit it.
Yeah, that's unlikely. It would really be unnecessary at this point because what?
There's an update. Should I read the update? It says this.
Yeah, you got an update.
Yeah. Originally posted. Okay, here we go. Hey folks, apologies for the long time between updates. To make a long story short, we're still working on the game and it is not canceled. Whenever we make a game, we set out to create a new experience. This means scheduling a new game is really, really hard for us because we're not really sure when it'll all work out. Sometimes it works out pretty quickly. Other times it takes a whole lot of back and forth and reworking. Invisible Ink comes to mind as an example. For the first couple of years of development, it went from a multiplayer mobile game to a tactical combat game, finally converging to the stealth espionage game that we shipped. This time we jumped the gun on announcing it because we thought we were further along than we were. After testing it out in-house, though, we felt the game wasn't delivering the experience we wanted, so we went back to work and have quietly been working on it since. I didn't want to give another date until we're confident, but I agree we should have kept people more in the loop. Sorry about that. The game is much further along now, but we are still some ways from announcing a new date. Once we have more information, we will let everyone know. Thanks for your patience. Right. Now, I think what happened is they screwed up because that's fine and all, but their website still says this year. So go fix your own damn website.
Right.
Not just a post on Steam.
I have a feeling those guys are pretty busy, which is good. I like the fact that they're a privately held company.
Yeah.
Because that gives them the control to not be pressured by, investors to go, well, you got to release it. You got to get it out there. And it's like, but it's not finished. Don't care. Do it.
Yeah.
I would rather complain about it being a little late and them admitting than the other way around.
Yeah. And I
as a gamer. That's
No, no. I totally get it. I'd rather them polish it and make it good. I don't want them to rush it out.
Right.
I'm never that way. I like the Blizzard method.
I'm also curious. The other game, we're going to talk about this in the news. Mm. I really want to talk about The Outer Worlds. Did you kind of peek at that yet? Obsidian's Entertainment.
No, yeah, RPG space RPG that's supposed to play. It's basically Fallout in space. I'm in.
You're right.
I'm
in too, baby. It looks good.
Yeah. Here's the only problem. Well, not really a problem, but now they're owned by Microsoft. And so that means they got a bunch of new money, and that's good. That's a good thing for them because they'll need that to pump out whatever they're going to do. My worry is that this will be Windows Store exclusive, and that rubs my cheese because I don't like the Windows Store.
That's interesting. I don't know if this will mess around. We got some really exciting things coming up with Epic Store and how they're handling things. And it's going to be an interesting 2019. Let's not get to 2019 yet, I guess.
No,
I guess
we have plenty of 2018, final couple of weeks of the year stuff to talk about. And it begins like this. Let's talk about I'm not playing Metal Gear. X4 Foundations for the PC is the first game I'm going to talk about. I just played a little bit on a stream before the show today. So we had some people hanging around watching me try to learn the damn thing. I talked about it last week because I'd picked it up and I just haven't had a chance to talk about it on the show proper. But this is the next in the long-running series of X Universe games made by, I forgot the name of the makers of it.
The dudes what make the X4 games.
Yeah, well, they make X1, X2, X3, X whatever.
Wait, they made X1, 2, and 3?
Yeah.
I had no... It's EgoSoft is what you're looking for.
Yeah, EgoSoft. Thank you very much. I was struggling to find it. Anyway, it is a game like games are where you play it. Sorry, this is a terrible.
Now you played it live earlier on Twitch. Was that your first experience with it?
No. I probably logged before I did that. I probably logged 6 hours, and I still seem like I really don't know what I'm doing, and that's fine. I want people to understand that this is the kind of game where it's a sandbox, and by that I mean literally you're digging in the sand trying to find out what the hell's in the sand. It's not a handheld game at all. You don't get in and go, oh, thanks, game, for showing me where the next point of interest is or who to talk to next. Like, you just go in and go, all right, time to... I mean, there's some quick tutorials on, like, control and a couple of little demos of how you do things. But really, it's up to you to figure the place out. And by place, I mean giant universe.
Right.
Because it is a space simulator. It's on par, I would say, with things like... Oh gosh, I don't know. The one game that's slipping my mind right now. Elite Dangerous is a good example.
Elite Dangerous.
Yeah, so there's that. You got your upcoming Star Citizen, older games like Freelancer and stuff like that. It's similar to that with just hardly any handholding of any sort.
What I like in my space game.
Do you really? Okay, well then you'll love this because there is no explanation for jack poop. You'll be running around going, "All right, what's this do? I don't know. Let's try it. Yeah. Oh, that's what it does. Okay, how about this?
The universe
doesn't
need a handbook. I mean, sure, there's that one with the hitchhikers, but I mean, besides that, you don't need a handbook.
It's also one of those games that time will melt away as you play it. And if you like a good space game, and you know I do, because I've talked about it here before, this thing will suck you in if you start getting the hang of it. And that's what I did. And especially today
like
on that stream.
Black hole.
Because there was a dude that showed up. I don't know if he just found it because of the category I was running or if he was, knows anything else that I do because he wasn't following. So I figured maybe he was just a rando. But he had clearly played this game a bunch and helped me with a couple of really key things that I did not know about at all. So he was like, oh, you got to do this to do that. Oh, freaking that thing I didn't have any idea about. And he taught me how to buy a new ship and then send that ship off to mine asteroids without me so I could just earn money and earn ore while I'm hanging out and doing nothing. That was a really good feeling. It's a cool, big, expansive game.
It's expansive.
$49. It's not too bad. Right. And if you just have that itch for a good space game, I feel like this is a good one. Now, here's the problem. I'm completely in on it, totally in on it, and I'm going to keep playing it. But I will admit, there are some weird bugs in the beginning. It's brand new. The X series is actually known for bugs at launch. It's like one of their things. It's not a true X game if it doesn't have problems at the first. But they always iron it out. They're always patching, always doing stuff. And it's, you know, that's people can count on that again. Their previous game called Rebirth was not great.
That's too bad because I had actually peeked at that. And
it was okay.
So that was,
it was okay. Yeah, it was just such a weird twist away from what they were used to doing that it just threw a lot of longtime fans off. It just didn't, I don't know. They wanted to try some new stuff, and I don't think some of it landed. This is very much a return to what people liked about 2 and 3 and, you know, kind of the earlier stuff. And I think that's going to make them very happy. It also looks really nice. Space and ships and planets and stations, they all look great.
Space and ships.
Yeah, all that stuff. Space and chips.
Black holes.
Chips. I said chips. I meant ships.
Chips.
It is, it's great. And there's a lot to it. I could go deep on all the stuff you're supposed to be able to do. You can create giant fleets. You can send your dudes out to fight and come back and bring bounties back. You can send people out just to trade for you. You can go do all of this yourself if you want. You can buy potentially dozens of ships, probably more once they continue to patch it, that do different things. There are different types of ships, large ships, small ships, medium ships, all this sort of stuff. You can build yourself quite the little armory of space boats, I like to call them, and go out there and do your business. And you can eventually own, you know, orbiting space platforms and giant space stations and be just raking in billions of space credits as this like dude who came from nothing with a single ship and now owns the universe. It's like that kind of game. It'll take you a long time to get there, but that's the progression. One of the things I like to do is I like to fly around and get quests and then go do those quests and then get money for those quests. Yo, that's what I'm into. So
this came out in October, right? It's very, very recent.
Official release was this month. Hold on.
Was this month? Okay.
It may have been early access before that. I'm not sure.
Yeah, that's probably what I'm seeing.
Yeah, it just came out. Like just barely. Like a week ago or a week and a half ago or something. So
all right, so I have somebody who's very persistently calling me on a cell phone, and I haven't seen my fiance. So let me answer just some.
Yeah, go ahead. I'll explain some more stuff while the chat room's looking at this video I'm showing here. So I can tell you that there is some jank. And it would be bad for me to tell you that there was none. There's absolutely definitely some early buggy weirdness in a couple of ways. Some of it is gorgeous, and then some of it is stiff and a little bit unwieldy animation wise and things. You get over that, and there's fun to be had pretty much immediately if you kind of know what you're getting into. Now, if you're used to playing something like EVE Online, there's similarities, but don't think that's what you're going to get here. Like, that game is a giant spreadsheet of information, and everything you learn and do is this like huge time-gated thing, which drives me slightly crazy. This game is not that. To build a new ship, for example, that I wanted to have go out and get mined, it took 2 full minutes to build. Like, no big deal. Not days of actual real time while you're not on the server. This isn't a multiplayer experience. It's a single player type thing. And it also has, apparently, or will have, or does have massive support for mods in the game. So that's not, you know, you're not seeing those yet, but their previous games did also. I suspect this will have a very vibrant mod community. And you'll see Star Wars mods and, you know, all kinds of crazy crap.
Like we saw last week on ModDB, everything needs a Star Wars mod.
Yeah, and chat room, you're not wrong to say it reminds you of, you know, a little bit of, what's the thing? What's the name? Someone just said it and they lost it.
Wing Commander. Someone said stiff. Is that it? Oh, okay.
Yeah, Wing Commander. I agree with that. It's a similar to that vein. A lot less story though. You're not having big cutscenes or whatever. But when you land your ship, you're walking around the space station, talking to dudes, and you're physically there. You get out in space, and now you're flying at warp speed to some other galaxy. Like it's got a lot of scale that way. It's pretty cool. Someone in the chat, Wraith, says Rebel Galaxy. You mean Outlaw, not Outcast. He wrote Rebel Galaxy. Outcast looks interesting. It's actually called Outlaw, and I agree 100%. This is probably going to be a thing that holds me over until Outlaw, unless Outlaw is just bad. But I love the first Rebel Galaxy. I suspect Outlaw will be even more of what I want out of that series. So, yeah, that's true. But you're probably going to wait until, April or something for that? That thing's a ways off. They're also asking about control. I play this on a mouse and a keyboard. You can totally play this on a controller if you want, but there aren't enough buttons on that controller to control every possible thing. So you kind of...
Unless you have the Steam controller.
That way... Maybe.
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 I recommend mouse and keyboard. Or if you got the big bucks and you got one of your little HOTA controllers, like the freaking stick and the head tracking and all that, you can play that way too if you want. Nice. And I know some people are really into that stuff, but it's not really my bag.
No real big deals in this game yet, except for Green Man Gaming had it for $39.99.
No, $10 pretty off. That's not bad.
Yeah, $10 off. But that was just their lowest. Right now, it's sitting at $49.98 as well. So this might be a Christmas gift if that's what I was looking for.
Yeah.
By the way, also this new stat I'm really digging over here on: is there any deal? Mm. It kind of tells me what people are feeling. And there's a stat on people waiting and people who have collected. There's on isthereanydeal.com, 2,200 people are waiting for this game. Zero collected. Because you know why? Mm. If you're on isthereanydeal.com, you're probably looking for deals like me. You're cheap.
Yeah, you're cheap like hey. Brian. Brian's the cheapest. If it isn't,
I'm the cheapest.
Yeah, if he could just get it as a demo, that's what he'd do.
That's not true. I like paying for product.
No,
know the product is good. Now, you say that about me, but I should call you Johnson Return Pants because
you should.
You have no problem returning something.
I don't, especially on Steam, because it's an option they give you. So I wonder if that new, I wonder if this the Epic Store is going to allow refunds or not. I wonder about that.
Ooh, that's a good question. Yeah. Are you going to pick up? By the way, I saw this on the Epic Store too. I went ahead and installed it because I knew they were gearing up for this stuff. They'll be giving away a couple of games, I think from December the 18th or 19th through the early of the year or something. You'll get a couple of games to throw into your library. I think Super Meat Boy, the new Super Meat Boy, I believe. Is that one of the ones they're giving away?
I doubt it. That thing's not even out yet. You're talking
about... it's not out. Let's see. It might just be the original Super Meat Boy.
Yeah.
Throw in there.
I can see that. They gave you Super Meat Boy. Super Meat Boy Forever is now an exclusive, or at least a launch exclusive.
Right.
On there. There's a few of those like that. That new Hades game from the Supergiant Games guys
is
there. And who else? I saw another one that was totally... Rebel Galaxy Outlaw is going to be launched exclusively for 6 months of its original launch window on that thing. So, yeah, I'm very curious about the return stuff because I think they need to do that. They need to kind of match Steam for all of their features if they want to really go crazy.
They're giving out the originals of two games that they have sequels to. Subnautica, the first one, will be free from December the 14th to the 27th.
Wait, is there a second Subnautica? It's the only Subnautica, isn't there?
There's a Subnautica Unknown Worlds coming soon. I'm not sure if it's just DLC content or if it's a full...
I'll bet that's DLC.
...thing. I haven't looked at it yet. It's
probably gotta be. Because that other game is not even that old yet. It's not been out that long.
Yeah, I just really started playing it earlier this year.
Yeah.
So, looking forward to it.
And what was the other one you said?
Super Meat Boy, the original.
Oh, right. Okay.
Yeah, you can still
pick that up. So, let me ask you this question, though. Does the thing have an installer like a desktop app, or am I just using the web?
I use the desktop app.
I didn't know there was one. They don't make it clear that they've got a freaking app.
It's not super. You can if you go to epicgames.com and on the upper right hand side, there's now a link that says Get Epic Games, and it will automatically download the installer for the little store, which is not a lot to look at right now. But you know, there's a lot of money behind this, and a lot of momentum and energy. So we're gonna see.
There's the game I was interested in, Hades.
Hades.
It's in early access. Supergiant Games, $20. You can play it now. Mm-hmm. It's supposed to be awesome. Hearing really good things about it. Ashen is another one I have high hopes about. It's an action RPG about a wanderer in search of a place to call home. This is a world where nothing lasts, no matter how tightly you cling to it. At its core, Ashen is about forging relationships. Players can guide those they trust to the camp. Together, they might just stand a chance. When they say action RPG, I don't know. The screenshots, I mean, it's a really interesting art style in general, but the screenshots make it seem, Dark Souls kind of approach Souls. To action RPGs, which isn't really what I'm into. I would prefer more of a Diablo approach to things, obviously. By the way, I talk about Diablo, but anyway, whatever. That looks cool. So if I hit Get Epic Games, that's the link I was missing, I guess.
That'll send you a little little small installer file that will probably grab something a little larger. And go from there.
What is Satisfactory? This looks cool.
But I haven't looked at the policies or anything, so not really sure about that. But I was hoping after I get in and put a little couple of games in there, I've got some of these games already. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I'll be able to activate them on the store. I'm curious about that. And I would finally want to play Rebel Galaxy Outlaw. I haven't done it. Double Damage is the.
Right.
I guess that's the extension.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I want that.
So,
bad.
Looking forward to that.
Oh,
yeah.
Can't
it looks
wait.
Good.
Well, if you like what I just described, you're going to probably get excited about that. It's a little more action focused and less simmy. At least the first one was. I can't say about the second one, but it looks cool.
Right.
Brian, tell me about Iconoclast. I actually almost bought this not long ago, and I'd be curious if I should have. Do you like it?
Oh, absolutely. You should purchase it. The price is right, especially if you've got the PlayStation 4. Month of December has the ability to add this to your PS4. It's not listed as an official PS4 release, but you can definitely activate it and put it onto your PS4. This is where I played Iconoclast.
Wait a minute. Is it a PlayStation Plus deal? Free game? Is that the thing? Or what?
It is. Yes, I'm sorry. Yes, I thought I made that. I'm sorry. Yes, it's the PlayStation Plus December freebie. Mm. One of the freebies this month. So don't buy it if you got that. Just go ahead and, well, you might want to get it because I think it'd be mighty cool on the Switch. Mm. And if I was to pick it up on a second platform, that'd probably be the place I would get it at because it is a 2D platformer. Mm. And they sell it with Metroidvania type things, but I don't really see it. Yeah, because I can see it. I can see the Metroidvania influences, but I wouldn't necessarily de facto call this a Metroidvania type of game. Mm. It's more of an action adventure storytelling game. There's a lot of story in this game, and I like that. There's a lot of story. I like story.
Yeah,
they got me right away because already this world they introduced me to, like the first couple of things you see is the planet. There's a moon in the distance, and it gets shattered, and I'm like, oh, cool. So we're in a state of unrest.
Yeah.
Here on the planet, whatever planet this is, it's not Earth. I think there's two moons, so it must be Endor. And so it's, that's right, right? That's not Endor.
No.
Why am I saying that?
Yeah, no. Why are you saying that? That's weird. It's weird that you're saying
no,
that.
No, the two moon planet. Why am I blanking here? What?
The double moons. You got two moons going there, and I don't know.
Luke's home planet. Why am I forgetting?
Oh, yeah, Tatooine. Duh, Tatooine.
Tatooine. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Anyway. Tatooine. Anywho, one of the moons blow up, right?
Yeah.
And your character who you're playing is Robin, and she's very anime. I like her very much. She's very cool. She's very animatic, and she's like, I know she's got big moves, right?
Yeah.
And so you're a fixer of sorts, and in this world that you're in. You carry a big giant wrench around with you because that's what your father did and you go around and help others who are having trouble with their houses, because most of the houses, the only problems they have are big nuts, and you just walk by and you wrench them and you fix them. That's how you do
so
it.
So literally you're a home improvement game is what this is. Sounds like
it's not really a home improvement game. That's the gimmick. You carry around this big giant size anime wrench where you're running around and fixing stuff. The problem is the rub, Scott.
Yeah, what's the
is
rub?
Is that you're in iconoclast. You are a person who wants to destroy icons because the ruling society is ran by mom. And to a lesser degree, a faction called One Concern. And they are on you and on all the people in the different homes and things. And they want you to bow down and repent. Because
this is
the
very,
music's
very Metroidvania, by the way. It's actually totally what this is.
It's got a lot of elements like it. But when you play it, it doesn't feel as much Metro. It looks very much. It's the style looks like Mega Man to me. It's kind of got like that.
Oh, the art style,
Mega
Man
look.
Sure.
Yeah, it's like that. So while you're trying to fix things on the down low for people, there's a faction that is trying to stop you from doing that because you need to be licensed. So you got to go through their proper channels. And if you don't, the ruling class may destroy you. There's a lot of laws to stop you from having fun, and that's half the fun for the game, is to try to beat these agents to the things you're supposed to do. There's two agents that are following you constantly. They're called Black and White, and there is a power source called Ivory, which is allows you to have special abilities, like the ability to carry around what must be at least a half a ton wrench, and so you can fix stuff.
Yeah,
and there's platforming elements to it as well. A lot of puzzle solving. You have to go to certain areas. You have to figure out, oh, how to open this door? Well, I got to open it right here, but now it's lowering down. You have to run over to another spot. So puzzles,
yeah.
Platformer,
boss fights,
Metroidvania,
yeah,
anime type art.
You do have boss fights, right? I'm looking at her fighting a
boss
spiky
boss. Fights are the best part of the game.
Whoa.
That definitely, the boss fights really remind me of the Metroidvania area. So I've only beaten a couple of bosses. I think they're supposed to be around 20. But each boss is well balanced so far as being difficult to beat. I feel like I'm accomplishing something, but without getting beaten over the head with it. Like, you know, it's like, I got to start again. Oh no, I got to start again. But I started doing some research, and this guy, the designer, Sandberg, he's been working on this thing for like 10 years.
It's Andy this Sandberg, a famous SNL cast member, Andy Sandberg.
I think his name is Joachim Sandberg.
Oh, okay.
I think I'm probably butchering that.
Probably Joachim is that how you
right.
usually say.
I don't think so. But it's been in development for 8 years. And you can really tell it. The story is very deep. It is very rich. It is a very full experience. And I can't say enough about this game at the $20 price range. Even if you don't get it off PS4, you can get it other places as well. I think the Nintendo Switch. Let's see how much it is on the Nintendo Switch.
Yeah, what do you got there?
I don't even know if it's out yet. It may not be out for the Switch yet. I know there was rumors that it was supposed to be coming soon, but
it does seem like a good Switch game, doesn't it?
Oh yeah,
yeah,
it does. It is perfectly fit for the Switch. Let's see. He says,
doesn't say.
I don't know. Later this year. That was 2018, so I don't know if it's out yet. We'll have to see.
Is it a roguelike? Like, you know. Supposed to do.
You can up. Yeah, well, you do open a chest and things, but it's mostly just to collect certain, just like certain energy.
Yeah.
To improve the weapons you currently have, so you're not really like accruing a whole bunch of cool new weapons or anything. You just got a small subset of weapons. There's a few, and then from there you just kind of you upgrade them a little bit. So it's neat.
You tell, like I said, this is, you, and you're telling me this is like a single dude made this? Like a,
I don't know if he was a single dude, but I know that he was the driving force. Let's see if it says.
I don't mean single, like what was his marriage status, but yeah.
No, no, he definitely has other people working with him, but I think he was, you know, the let's see, I don't know, let's see. It's a good question. Hmm. It's a good question.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's a really cool.
I don't think he was definitely not. I don't think he did this all by himself, though.
It's a cool looking game. I have to admit, I'm drawn by this style. This looks really good.
Right.
Yeah. I may have to check this out. And it's free right now if you have Plus, so go get it. I mean, if you have a PlayStation, why would you not have Plus? Everyone does, right?
Yeah.
Excuse me. Like, everybody who's got a PS4, you have Plus.
You got Plus.
Oh, my gosh.
Why would you not have the Plus?
I don't know. Why wouldn't you? Why wouldn't you? Why wouldn't you is what I'm saying.
Sidian in the chat room says, found it. Released August 2nd, 2018 for the Nintendo Switch.
Oh, all right. It's out then.
And it is called Iconoclast.
Yeah, let me tell you something about the Nintendo Switch store. It's really hard to find crap in there. So don't feel bad if you had a hard time finding it, because the store is kind of a cluster right now. I mean, I like stuff that's on there, but it's kind of a nightmare. All right, I'm going to now talk about a thing I can't show video for, because Nintendo sticks you right in the butt if you do.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Nintendo says, oh.
They don't like it when you do this. So I'm going to talk about Let's Go Pikachu. That is to say, Pokemon Go Let's Go Pikachu for the Switch. Speaking of the Switch, I actually have a copy here of the Let's Go Eevee version of the game, which we're giving away on the morning show.
Trying to give it away.
Trying to give it away, but I lost today. So the guy didn't get it. But anyway, I got Pokemon Let's Go Pikachu. I didn't get the Eevee. I got the Pikachu because it's Pikachu. He's your guy. He's your man. He's your yellow little dude, and he's the guy you follow and hang around with. So that's who I've got. And I have this love-hate relationship with Pokemon games where in the past, I'll play one, I'll pick it up. I understand what it's trying to do for me. I get the RPG elements. I get the battle elements. I understand collecting everything. I get it. Like, there's gameplay there that I am drawn to, so I understand it. But there's something that always pushes me away. I can never quite put my finger on it. I think it's a combination of two things. Some of those games are a little more heartless when it comes to, oh, no, your stuff, everyone's hurt. You need to get back to a thing and get them healed up. Sometimes they're a little bit hard about and difficult about where you can do that and why and when. And then the other thing is random battles. I hate them. Running through the bushes. Suddenly I'm in a fight. All right, well, I just really wanted to get through here. Okay, I'm going to sneak through. Oh, too bad. There's another random battle. I hate those. I freaking hate them. I hate them. So this doesn't have those. Random battles gone. If you want to fight the thing you see it, and then you run over and fight it. Or you go past it and don't fight it. Because you have enough of them, or you're trying to go do a certain thing where you don't want to get bogged down in some combat right now because you're trying to get to town, talk to Professor Butthole, whatever his name is. So, I mean,
Professor Butthole.
That's the level of Pokemon player I am, because I don't remember anyone's names in any of this stuff, right?
Right.
Like any of the Pokemon, I know Eevee, I know,
Pikachu. That is definitely a phenomenon. Once you get to a certain number of odd names, I can no longer go with you. I have to go, I'll remember your few characters, but everybody else, I don't have that kind of brain space.
Yeah, I might see one and I'll go, oh, I think that's Jigglypuff, but only because I played a lot of Smash Brothers, which I actually meant to play before today's show, but I haven't had a chance to grab that yet. But anyway, the bottom line for me is, I really, this is the one big takeaway, I really like how it looks. I think this game looks really good. And to the point that I just can't wait now for Animal Crossing to come to the Switch, because I am super stoked about how good that's going to look. It's going to look real good. In fact, there's a lot in this game where you're just like, oh, that's just like Animal Crossing, go in the house, come out of the house, do the stuff. Like, they could just use this engine probably if they wanted to. But it's really cool in that regard. And I like the non-random battles. I'm not far enough to say whether the overall sort of grind that the series is known for is going to get to me or not. But I am playing it, I'm enjoying it, and I like it. So I'm telling people stuff they already know, because if you already have this game, you either get Pokemon stuff or you don't. That's how people are.
Right, right.
This was gifted to me by a fan, which makes me super happy. So thanks for that.
That is way cool.
I don't know that I would. Yeah, go ahead.
I got to ask this, because the thing that really, really made me kind of interested in this, because I've played plenty of Pokemon games, but this one has a Pokeball controller. Did you get the Pokeball controller with this? Is that?
It's the collector's edition. It comes with a Pokeball controller. I don't have it down here. I'd show it. It's upstairs. Shoot. Yeah, it's upstairs with my Switch, but it basically is a, it's what you think it is, Pokemon Ball. There's an analog stick controller where the white dot normally is on the Pokeball. Mm-hmm. So you can move that thing around. It's also motion controlled. So you, when you're playing with a TV or on the device, you can aim and throw with the ball. It's got a strap. You'd think it'd be plasticky and lame. It's not. It's actually got a really nice finish. It has weight to it. It's a nice little device. It feels like the kind of thing that'll keep forever.
Does it have a speaker in it and then makes Pikachu? Oh, and you no?
I don't think so.
See, that's what I need.
That's what you need?
That's what I need. I need to be able to pretend. I need to be able to hold my Pokeball and pretend like Pikachu's in there.
I see. You want to pretend that there's actually a creature inside your balls.
Yeah. When I shake it, I want them to do like they do in the little control with the ball and stuff. I want the ball to move around and like wave it in my hand. I want. That's what I want.
You can also import one of the weird points of this particular new series is that you can import your Pokemon Go stuff to, so if you've captured stuff in Pokemon Go, you can bring them in here. You can import them. So it's got some interoperability with Pokemon Go. I think it's good. I think it's good. It's a Pokemon game.
Good.
Yeah. I mean, they're whatever they are. They're good or they're not. And by not, I mean, you either like them or you don't. And I think I like this one. I think I like it more than I have in the past. Again, I'm not far enough to give a full judgment, but it seems good.
And, yeah, I think it's a good start. I want it too. How come you got a copy? Who loved you so much but didn't love me?
It was really nice of him to send it. He just said, hey, I forgot. I had like 3 versions of this already on order. Would you like a copy and then give one away? I said, sure. And then that's what it was really nice. It was very nice. I should give him credit. Should I give him credit or not use his name? I didn't ask if I could.
Do you ever... I always ask first just in case.
I should ask. I'm going to ask before I do it. All right. Yeah. Huge thanks for that. Brian, tell me about Wild Tamer.
Wild Tamer. Hey, you know what? So apparently a long time ago, I was a druid. And when I was at Druid, I downloaded from the Google Play Store this game called Wild Tamer.
Yeah.
Now, at first glance, you may think, dear God, Brian, this is one of those don't starve games, isn't it? It looks like a survival type game. And it is a little bit of survival stuff in it, but it's not exactly a survival game. Other than you could probably claim that most games are survival. You got to survive. You can't die. Here, you don't want to die either, but you don't have to go out and collect wood and resources and all that stuff there. You do have to worry about a day-night cycle. It's a very easy day-night cycle. The night is very short, and it pops away, and when it does get dark, you have to buy a torch. It's 100 coins. Don't worry, you'll get more.
By the way, quick update on the Pokemon, just so I forget.
Yeah.
Salem is in the chat. He is the one that sent it.
Excellent.
And that was completely nice of him. He also says that the ball will make Pokemon noises and stuff. I had no idea.
Oh.
I mean, I guess I haven't used it entirely, like, exclusively with me playing, but I didn't know. Anyway, sorry, back to your thing. I love the art style on this game that you're showing me here. This is cool.
Isn't it adorable? I like that. I like those pale colors and everything. Mm-hmm. So what you're doing is you're a druid, you're a wild tamer, you're just what you think you are. You're going out into this land, islands. Each level is kind of an island unto itself, and you're going on this island. There are herds of different creatures. When you first start out, you have to go around and tame rats. That's level 1, and that's the thing that is closest to your little home area. Once you can do 2 things when you come up to an animal like a rat. You can you'll fight them. Obviously, once you fight them, you can choose either to collect their bones, in this case, or you can choose to net them and then put them in your posse.
Mm.
You get so many slots to start with. I think you start around maybe 8 slots worth of characters you can haul along with you. So the first thing you do is you grab some rats, you start building up your little herd and your little army, and you walk around. You just keep exploring different areas of the map until you run into some more creatures. You hit those guys, and you take the creatures you currently have, and they attack, and they'll attack the next level like rabbits, and in which case you start grabbing the rabbits. The rabbits are kind of unique in this game to me because some of the characters are more like, they're like tanks. They'll get right up there and fight, but the rabbits, they throw bones. Mm. I don't know where they got the bones from. Mm. I'm not asking.
Right.
But that's what they do. And so every time you approach new animals, as you extend yourself from your center circle, which is your home base, as you get further out, the animals become increasingly tougher, and as a result, it's harder to kill them, of course. But then once you actually subdue one, then they become part of your crowd and your little herd. And next thing you know, you're running around with like 3 rabbits, you know, a boar and a couple of rats, and hey, there's some deer. You kind of get them involved too. And you just keep exploring this map and just keep taming animals. You get opportunity. Once you tame the animals, you can go back to your hut, which is very easily accessible. You hit the home button, you're back at home base, and you can choose to upgrade your animals. If you have an animal that you've killed, you have to kill it first. You have to kill at least one. You can then purchase that animal in the store. Undiscovered animals, which are plenty, I think there's something like maybe 30 or 40 different animals. Mm-hmm. And there's different species too, because you have your mammals and you have your insects, and then you have your reptiles. Mm. And they all get different levels of, you know, abilities and strength. And it's just very linear, because you'll start out with like a herd of like rats, and then you'll go to bunnies, and then you'll start noticing that some of them are dying off. But that's okay, because you collect new animals and you just keep powering up.
Yeah, looking at it right now, I just downloaded it. It seems this art style is cool.
I love the art style. It's probably my favorite thing. The audio is pretty cool. It is. I'm trying to see what else you can kind of do here. It is kind of ad heavy, but it's kind of annoying because there's areas where you can go where you can heal up. You can heal your druid and your animals. And when you go to the healing well, you'll click on it and it'll ask you to watch an ad. You have to watch the ad to be able to heal up. However, or you could choose $4.99 just to get rid of the ads.
Oh,
I didn't know how long I was going to play this game. Right. A lot of times I'll play them for a week before I want to purchase in. I'm getting this game. $4.99 is a no-brainer.
Yeah, I'm happy to support developers I like.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. I've definitely had my $4.99 worth of fun with this game. Mm-hmm. It can be frustrating because I've learned some tricks in the Wild Tamer. And the tricks that I've learned is that a lot of times the animals are tougher than me. So what happens is you'll be going in a path, and you know how you hate those random encounters.
They're
not really random, but the animals are always running around in herds, so they very rarely sit still. So if you're trying to go from a point A to point B, there'll be animals kind of like doing little circles around you or getting near you. Mm-hmm. And you can usually avoid them, but sometimes you'll get a little too close. And once you do, of course, you've engaged at that point in time. And if you can't outrun them, which you usually can do, then you have to fight. If you kind of bury yourself deep into your herd, you kind of take your druid back a little bit and let the animals just attack. By the way, they auto attack.
Yeah.
And so if you run up against other animals, you can pull everybody with your druid character to where you're wanting to go. But then once you get there and you're kind of getting closer to other animals, you can kind of back into the herd a little bit. And that way you got like a pretty good protection, because your animals will start disappearing. You're like, oh, I'm about to get my butt kicked. And so you just turn and run.
Oh, okay. Go back to your cave, regroup.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like regroup. Got to do that again. Got to do it right. And as you go along, you get, there's a bunch of small achievements. Like, you know, it's like kill one deer. Check. Here's you some gemstones. Check. Sell 3 deer. Check. And they've constantly got these little, you know, just little motivating factors.
Aren't druids supposed to be like all friendly, animal friendly? Like they want to like be king of the deer and all the deer should survive or whatever. This sounds like kind of an anti-druid. Right. He's like a jerk.
I like story.
Yeah.
There's not much story here. It's more about just an environment, it's just about the emotion of feeling like you're in this unique little world and all these little cute creatures. And I don't know. I kind of wish there was more there, but there's not. What you going to do?
Yeah. What are you going to do? It's a small mobile game.
What you going to do?
Play it or
small mobile game.
Play it and have fun. I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
What's the problem?
Just do it.
I'm going to tell you about Ancient Frontier Steel Shadows. Now, apparently there's an Ancient Frontier 1 that I'm not familiar with. I have no idea what it is. But Ancient Frontier Steel Shadows is another game set in you guessed it, outer space.
Space?
And it's a turn-based strategy game, like, a grid, XCOM-ish, where you go and you got your grid and your dudes have different weapons and you take your turn and you fire your special abilities and the burp to burp to burp, right?
Burp to burp to burp.
Everything I just mentioned, this is not going to shock anybody out there who's played a turn-based game. It's, you know, modern chess, basically.
Right.
And it's not out yet. I think the code I got is a late alpha sort of, hey, try this out before we put it in the public domain sort of thing.
Oh, it's out tomorrow.
Oh, good. Okay, so soon then.
Yeah.
Because I'm happily recommending this game. Yeah. I think that it's really good. It's very satisfying. I don't even think, well, I'm not so deep that I could say for sure, but I don't feel like it's super hard either, which is what I want. I do not want tons of complicated stuff. I just want that good feeling of making a smart decision, playing a decent tactic, getting my ship around where it should go, firing off the thing I should have fired. Like, that's what I want to feel, and that's how this game makes me feel. It doesn't make me feel like an idiot, and a lot of these things do. So I'm going to recommend it highly, and if it's out tomorrow, I think people should check it out. Does it say price? What's the price?
Yeah, it's gonna hit at $24.99.
Oh, totally, $25. Totally worth it.
Yeah,
totally worth it.
It kind of reminds me of how the Star Trek Online game looked. You got your little hexagon, little tiles, and
but the Star Trek Online game, I think that was real time, right? You just flew wherever you wanted, whenever you wanted. Yeah. This thing is very traditional turn-based. Like, you can fly kind of freely for a while with all your ships and move them freely. And then if you see an enemy, now you're in turn order. So you can't just go willy-nilly anymore. This is very common. It's basically D&D is where it goes back to. But you take your turns, you have these abilities and buffs, and you can upgrade those things between missions. Like, all the standard things you'd expect. But just a good feeling turn-based experience, great sound effects, good graphics. It feels like you're in space doing a rad thing, and I'm into that.
Right.
I'm always into the space stuff.
I said it was $24.99, but I think I saw the original release back in 2017. So this is still Shadows is coming out.
Still Shadows is like the sequel or whatever.
Right. So I would probably expect the price to be somewhere around there too, because I think that's just their... It looks like just their price model, either free to play or, but of course there was a Quest and Events as DLC. Okay. Yeah. So it looks like that's about their pricing model, $25. I would probably guess it about that.
Yeah. It'd be a good tablet game, by the way. I would totally play it on that.
Yeah. It looks like it'd be a good tablet game.
Yeah. My impression is that there's nothing here that you couldn't do with a touchscreen that it's doing with a mouse and keyboard. But I like it and I would play more of it. And they also have this neat feature where, sometimes there's cover in the game, just like in XCOM. Mm. So if you're hiding behind
an
asteroid, and you're hiding behind there, you'll know that you have some cover because a little icon will tell you, and it plays just like XCOM cover. And the thing is, if you want to pop out and shoot the guy behind it, there's a lot you can do with the angle of the camera and sort of stuff to make sure that you can actually see where you're firing. Like, at first, it seems like everything's sort of locked, but it's not. There's like lots of ways to move things around. Anyway, it's really good. Huge, good impression so far. It must be much further along than I thought, because if it's releasing tomorrow, then we're good to go. Ancient Frontier, Steel Shadows, PC for now. As far as I know, not coming to anything else, but that is where it's at.
It looks smooth. I've just got to say.
Yeah,
I'll never remember that name.
Slick
it's like
and smooth.
It's like a series of words that hold no meaning.
No, it's a terrible title. Like Steel Shadows? What does that even mean? Doesn't make sense.
Right.
Doesn't make sense.
It doesn't make sense. I can kind of get behind Ancient Frontier, but it doesn't, I don't know.
Yeah, it's dumb.
It's okay.
No, it's a dumb title. I'm willing to say it's a dumb title. It's fine.
It's hard.
Yeah.
It's hard,
I still like the, I like what I'm playing. Also, Ancient Frontier does not immediately make me go, ooh, space. Like Ancient Frontier sounds like something else. But anyway, that's that. Hey, tell me about Perfect Date.
Perfect date. So perfect is spelt with a P-U-R-R.
Uh-huh.
That's right.
Uh-huh.
This was available this in the Humble Bundle this month, this time around. I decided to go ahead and activate it because it looked interesting because, hey, Scott, do you like visual novels? No, they're not really games.
Sometimes. Depends on
Sometimes,
the game.
Yeah. Me too. How about dating simulators? Those are always fun, right?
I like them, especially when they come with...
How about cats? You like the cats?
I like cats, sure. All these things separately are fine, sure.
Right, so what happens when you put all that stuff together? You get a perfect date.
Like a cat.
Mm. Right, so you start out and you get to choose your character on this very rudimentary, stylized game. The art looks hand-drawn. It's not terribly attractive art either. But it does have its own flavor. The cats are pretty ugly, but they're kind of they're unique. It's an ugly game. Okay, there we go. I said it. It's an ugly game, but that's okay.
It's cute ugly.
It doesn't necessarily mean it's bad. Mm. It just means that it's ugly and probably intentionally.
Sure.
It looks like somebody drew it on some notepaper in school while they were doing other things or went into Flash and designed it there. Whatever. Anyway, perfect date. So on the surface, I thought it was one game because the way it was described was it's going to be this dating simulator and you're going to be setting up cats or something.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, or maybe I'm a cat. I don't know. But it gets a lot deeper than that. And this is where this game kind of surprised me because the visual novel part really comes into play. And you start out the game as you get to choose the character. And I thought, okay, I get to choose my character because that's the character I'm playing throughout the game. Wrong. This character you choose, you're going to end up playing all the characters that you start with. So you choose a character, and that character will meet, I don't want to give too much of the story away, but the character is a human, and as a researcher, the one I chose, for cats on this secret island. And your assistant, I'm an assistant to a professor there, and they're doing some experiments on the cats as far as just trying to find out social behavior. But on another part of the island is this mysterious area that we're not allowed to cross over into as a researcher because if we do, bad things have happened. Mm. So it takes a kind of a dark turn. Mm. Basically, the turn is this. You become infected with a cat disease and you're slowly turning into a cat. Mm. And this game is all about relations. So that is the things you get to decide about are mostly about relations. And so as you turn into a cat and this motley crew of cats who are the people who are the cats that you're researching, in order to find a antidote for your cat disease, you must interact with these other cats who are romantically interested in you.
And you. Okay. So hold on a second. What is it, just text? Because that's all I'm seeing in this preview.
Oh, yeah.
Preview.
It's all text. Yeah. It is very little graphics. There's a screen split. You know, you got a little bit of graphic information at the top, little scene settings, if you will. And then you have almost everything is red down at the bottom. This is very seriously a visual novel. I mean, it is novel being more important than the visual part.
Are people into this thing? Is it like popular? Like, what's the deal with it?
It's got some pretty good results, and I think the reason, and of course people complain too, it's currently enjoying a very positive rating on Steam. I think it's such a weird take, and I almost feel like I was kind of fooled into what I thought it was going to be, and that actually feels good in the game.
Yeah.
And it actually is kind of surprising that I wanted to keep reading this stupid novel because the novel is kind of silly. And it's got little silly humor in it. But for some reason, it keeps me going. I haven't played all the way through, but I have played a pretty good ways. I'll give you another little clue here too. The first character you pick, he's going to turn into a cat. And after you do enough research, because you get to choose. This is the part that you actually interact with. You get to choose what you do with your time. Mm. Do you rest with your time? Do you do research with your time? or do you romance with your time, or do you do recon with your time? Because all that goes towards building an antidote for this disease, which is turning people into cats. These researchers into
is
cats.
It a? I mean, this isn't like a. Oh, interesting.
This is called Perfect Date. Yeah, by the way. Perfect
Date. Now, something I noticed about the reviews. I'm going to tell you my favorite review. Okay.
Yes.
It looks like it's about a 5 hour, 4.5 hour experience. Okay.
Very close.
Except this guy, who has 39.3 hours on record.
What?
Yeah.
How?
And he says this: I was curious about this game from the moment I caught a glimpse of it. So, like many or any. Cat-loving dating sim fan, I bought the game. I did not regret it one bit. It's pretty simple and straightforward gameplay, but the story is intriguing. You have to play for the good endings for the real twist. It's worth the wait, and for me at least, it's worth playing more than once. For 39 hours!
Yeah, it might be 39 hours for the
good Lord.
Complete experience, because that's the idea behind some of these games. They are different endings. I guess each character, if you end with that character, probably gives you a different ending. I don't know if I'm that much into the story. I'm having fun, and I'll probably get bored for too much longer. But it was definitely worth it as a nice little surprise in my humble monthly bundle. I don't know if I would go out and plop down $10, maybe on sale. Maybe I would.
Yeah,
you probably get it. You can get a good afternoon.
Sidian says, don't yuck somebody else's yum. I'm not yucking it. I'm saying it's a long time to be playing the same game over and over that only takes 4 hours to beat. It's a lot. It's a lot.
It's a long time. I wonder, though, did he like, because it is very tempting to just leave it running, because the music, that little plink, plink music is kind of little fun little music in the background. Maybe they just like, I do this sometimes. I'll start a game. Since there's no real true time limit, the time limit is based on each turn you take. That's how time advances. So you could literally just sit on one screen for, 3 or 4 hours while you do something else. And then you come back and go, oh, crap, this game's still running?
Listen to what this guy says. He says, it's recommended. He has 5.6 hours on it. He says, I hate cats and I hate dating sims alike. So take it from me when I say this is something else entirely. I expected it to be a furry, pandering, creepy mess, but there's a lot more to it than that. I won't spoil a thing. Just give it a go, and if you're not hooked within the first 2 hours, you can refund it. So he liked it, and he hates the two things it's based on, which is hilarious to me.
It's crazy.
Anyway, let's see. A lot of fun to play around with. Replayable, too. I don't do too many.
I don't know about it being replayable. Maybe it is. I don't know.
Well, ask 39-hour man. He thinks it is.
I'm telling you, man.
That guy can keep going.
I don't know if I'm that dedicated. I had fun.
Well, he's into it. All right. All right. That brings us to the end of our games. And now this.
It's a meme, Mario.
Hey, it's time for us to play a little guessing game. I'm going to try to guess what Brian's game is, and he's going to try to guess mine. These are games that we're just randomly playing for each other to see if we know by sound only what these might be. Brian, I'm going to start with yours this time. Okay.
Okay.
So I'm going to play this. Here we go. Let's see if I can figure it out. Oh, it's Christmassy. All right. I don't know yet. Let's see if... Okay. I have no idea.
Fastidious is a choplifter. All every week.
Every week we get somebody says choplifter. It's fantastic.
Right.
What is it? Who
all
is
right,
it?
So how about I give you a few clues. Let's see. Okay, so originally released for the Amiga.
Amiga, okay. All right.
In 1991.
Okay.
It is a puzzle platformer game. What else can I give you?
It's a puzzle, but was it a name that I should know?
Oh, like, yes. You will definitely know this game once I tell you.
Puzzle platformer.
Once I tell you, you will definitely know. These little characters, there's plenty of them. There's lots of them. And usually you just kind of march them places.
Oh, my gosh. I don't know.
Right. All right. So I'm going to go with...
Lemmings.
Lemmings Christmas.
Is it? They have a Christmas Lemmings.
They do. Christmas Lemmings.
Yeah, I remember Lemmings Christmas. I never had an Amiga, but yeah, I knew the Lemmings started there, and I ended up with like a PS1 version of Lemmings or something.
Yes.
Maybe some PC stuff, but yeah, Lemmings was great in the day, man. What a great little
game. I was hoping that their little noises would tip it off, but I guess
yeah, not. I just couldn't figure it out. But then the minute you said all that other stuff, it made sense.
Yeah.
Marching. Yeah, marching.
Your orders are here, march.
Here's yours. See if you can figure it out. It's so easy, it's stupid, but I'm doing it for a specific reason. Okay. So here's the easily dumb one to pick. Do you know what it is? You know what this is.
It kind of sounds like Rampage.
You really don't know what that is?
Wait,
shocked.
Play one more time.
Okay, hold on.
What's that?
Let me try it again.
God, that sounds so familiar.
It's Doom.
Is that Doom?
Yes.
It's the
original
Doom.
It's the original Doom. And the reason I brought it up is today is the 25th anniversary of Doom today.
Wow, that sound is so much more like Rampage for some reason to me.
No, it's totally Doom. The
that
whole
brr,
all those death sounds. Oh man, it's so Doom.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a ridiculous amount of Doom. But yeah, they're celebrating the 25th anniversary at id Software, and I guess now Bethesda since they own it. But 25 years of Doom, and the second Doom game comes out early next year or sometime.
Right.
Next year, I forget when. That one in 2016 was awesome, so I'm very much looking forward to the next one. And
you excited about Sigil?
What's Sigil? Tell me
the
Sigil.
Sigil. So John Romero is working on Sigil.
Yeah.
The Mega Wide.
Sigil, John Romero. Did he announce this today? Or was this a...
I think he was playing a little bit of it on his Twitch channel or something. I saw a little blurb and I didn't get a chance to go back, but I was like, oh, wow. Oh, it's like, oh, cool.
Oh, look at this. John Romero gifts Doom. Oh, he just gave... Today he gave out 18 new Doom levels.
Yes.
That no one's ever seen before. That's crazy. Okay, so it says here, John Romero's Sigil is a spiritual successor to the original version of Doom, Sigil. It will be available as a free download and a box collector's edition. Sigil is, let's see, original Doom, distributed as such. Doom is distributed. Oh, I want to know more about this.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It will include an oversized box, 16 gigabyte USB drive shaped like a floppy disk.
Yeah, I like that. It's good. The USB drive is shaped like a floppy disk, like the original Doom was released.
I'm super curious about this.
Yeah.
I didn't hear about this till now.
I'm doom curious about this.
Yeah. What do you think of that Sonic the Hedgehog live action movie? Do you see the trailer for that?
That scares the crap out of me.
I don't like it. I think it's awful.
I won't speak to whether or how awful it's going to be until it is actually here and someone forces me to watch it. But just seeing it, yeah.
Well, look at it. It looks like a hairy kid.
It does.
Like, look at this chat room. Look, it's like a hairy kid. That poster. I mean, that's all we have is this little poster and a short animation of him running up to the stance he's in right there. Is this really
scary looking right now?
The whole new Speed of Hero from the producers of the Fast and the Furious. Really? Really?
It's got to be a lie.
I don't know about this. I don't think I like it. I think it's just his legs are too muscular. They need to just be those like they need to be noodle legs like in the game.
I think this poster was a mistake.
Yeah, I think I agree. You could have done something with just the shape of the head and gotten away with it. It didn't need to be this like running body thing. It could have just been here's that iconic shape, and people would have gone, "Ooh, Sonic movie, ooh, cool."
This reminds me of many mistakes for things we made in the 80s.
Yeah,
that's what it reminds me of.
Yeah, it's not great. This depresses me slightly. Well, what do I do when I'm depressed? I play this. Works every time. Got a quick news story for you. Call of Duty's Blackout map is changing this week, so get ready. They're adding a hijacked yacht in there.
Well, that sounds cool.
Yeah. Call of Duty Black Ops 4 getting a big free update called Operation Absolute Zero, bundled with new content for zombies and multiplayer and a few extra items for Blackout. The game's Battle Royale mode Absolute Zero arrives first on PlayStation 4 on December 11th. The biggest addition is the yacht floating in the map's northwest corner, based on Hijacked, a multiplayer map in Call of Duty Black Ops 2. It's a fairly large multi-level space with a mix of outdoor and indoor environments. Expect a bunch of loot as well as multiple rafts that allow players to get back into the mainland. Anyone leaving before the party is over, however, will be easy pickings with a scoped weapon. You can see a glimpse of the area in the new trailer. Now, here's the thing. I'm going to hate the first week of that because everyone's going to the damn rafts or to the stupid yacht. And you can get there no matter where that plane's coming in on that map. That's the great thing about that game is you can get anywhere you want to go. So that your freaking monkey suit or whatever it's called. What's it called? Squirrel suit, right? Will take you all the way to that boat. And for the first week and a half of that game, maybe even longer of that patch, everybody and their dog is going to go to the freaking yacht and it's going to piss me off.
Mm-hmm.
Ah. It's a good game, though. Holds up.
It is.
Blackout's strong. And it's nice that they're adding stuff. Brian, I got an email for us real quick. Do you want to hear a weird one?
Yeah, get me a weird one.
This one says, hey, by the way, boopshow@gmail.com is the email address. Says, hey, how come you guys never talk about RTS games? And that's it. This is from Neil. Because RTS games aren't playing them anymore. That's why.
He's not wrong. And that, I think Scott's probably right on the answer to that. And also, man, trying to squeeze in my normal gaming and then also trying to focus with at least a bit of critical eye on three games every week.
Yeah.
Man, an RTS, that's a tough tackle because it takes a while to really get into an RTS.
That's a big block of cheese, and I don't think want any.
Block of cheese.
The other thing is that, I mean, like the biggest name in RTS gaming is still StarCraft II, and the interest in that game has waned. It's just not, people aren't interested. They're playing MOBAs now. So I just don't think RTSs are ever going to be where they were. I just don't. I think maybe there'll be lots of nostalgia for it. There was that announcement that Command & Conquer, Red Alert, and the other, maybe the second one, whatever it is, they're getting remastered for whatever it's worth. And then, you know, you'll have that occasionally. Like, people get excited about some stuff. Warcraft 3 coming, same idea.
Mm-hmm.
But there's, I don't know that the market wants, like, a brand new, you know, breaking hot new RTS. There'll be plenty of little indie things, smaller games. There is a new Settlers coming out, but Settlers isn't an RTS. It's like city building god game.
And this is one of the things that I have more and more trouble every week. I've talked about it before and I'll say it again. Genres are getting so squished. It's just like it's hard to say exactly. Almost every game I play is like, yeah, it has elements of. Mm-hmm. I use that word a lot. Elements of.
That's a good way to put it.
Yeah. And so, yes, it's, I don't know.
Chat room, or Sidian says, New Age of Empires coming. Yes, that's true.
Oh, yeah.
They're going to give that a shot. But I feel like they can be a little more niche with that and get away with it. I just don't think you're going to have the big mainstream appeal anymore. But when those kinds of games come out, like a new Age of Empires, I'm sure as hell going to try that. Are you kidding me? Absolutely, I'm going to try that. Anyway, thanks for your email. We appreciate it. Again, was from who? Neil. Thanks, Neil. Boopshow@gmail.com. That's boopshow@gmail.com. Or you can just use the website, frogpants.com/boop. There's a contact link right there for you. Okay, we're out of here. But before we go, a couple things. Stick around to the end of the show. We have some giveaways today. All right. Going to give away a bunch of codes. So stay around for that. Games, like full video games, if you want to win some here on the live stream.
Full video games, the full thing.
Yeah, if you're listening to the podcast.
We're giving away Perfect Date.
Oh, the cat one? All right.
Yeah.
All right, sweet. I can't wait for someone to win that. And then, for those at home, sorry, you got to come live to get these. And then, what else? Oh, I'm starting to do a regular gaming stream in conjunction with Doghouse Systems that's going to happen during the week. Now, the big question right now is schedule. I did a dry run today just to sort of get a few things squared away. It will likely be, at the very least, it will be like noon to 2 my time, Tuesday and Thursday, possibly more. We're just trying to figure out how we can do this without having me completely lose my mind in terms of schedule. So that's the plan for now anyway. So there'll be a stream tomorrow. Check the calendar. It's up on the Twitch page, twitch.tv/frogpants if you're interested. On days where I can, I'll play with Brian. I don't know if he'll be around a lot of the time. He'll be at work a lot. But when
the Christmas time. Yeah. Sometimes I have extra time around the Christmas time.
Yeah, I'd love to play with you, play with some other friends, do some other stuff. It's about the only little slot during the day, though, that works for me. So we'll see how it goes. But that'll start soon. Lots of different games. Today I played X4. Who knows what tomorrow will bring. Probably going to play Overwatch or something fast-paced and let people join our games and stuff. So anyway, we'll see how that goes. Frogpants.com/boop is our website. Don't forget that. It's easy to find. All the archives are there. We put everything up on YouTube as well. So if you have interest in checking out old episodes, that's a great way to do it. And what else? Boopshow@gmail.com on Twitter. Boop Show. Brian's at TheBrianDunaway. I'm at Scott Johnson. Boopshow.reddit.com if you're looking for that. Stick around for these giveaways. That's going to do it for us. Hope you all had a good time today. Brian, have a fantastic week, buddy.
Thank you, sir. I'm looking forward to playing the video games.
Me as well. And the rest of y'all have a fantastic week as well. Stick around. We got some winners coming up. We'll see you next time. This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
I don't like steam.